Blog Talk Radio.
For so long I was silent. For so long I did not have a song to pray. Pressure filled my day and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, awaking the passion so quiet in me, in me. So still in me. I can't lay here and give up, no. I choose to worship right now. My mind is made up.
Presence is overwhelming. There's nothing like your presence.
Say that again. I have been touched. Put your hand on your neighbor. Say, you have been touched. Put your hand on them. Say, you have been touched, changed, healed. Say this, totally free from sin. Say that again, totally free from. I have been touched, changed.
Just hold.
Lord, you're holy.
Come on, put your hands together if that's your prayer tonight.
Keep her, God. I thank you, God, for the desire that she's making to change, especially my son, God. He's making a desire to get closer to you, God. So, God, meet him at that place, God. Oh, meet him at that place right now, God, and we thank you for it, God, and we praise you for it, God. We praise you, God, for the opportunity, God, that you've given him, God, of life flowing through his body, God. And we thank you, and we give you honor, God. We give you glory, and we give you praise. In your son, Jesus Christ, most holy and righteous name, we pray. Amen. And next voice you hear be none other than my son. Give us words of inspiration. God bless. Wait patiently with me while I bless you. Don't rush into my presence with time consciousness, knowing that you're mine. I dwell in timelessness. I am, I was, I will always be. For you, time is a protection. You're a frail creature who can handle only 24-hour segments of life. Time can also be a tyrant, taken away relentlessly in your mind. Learn to master time, or it will be your master. Though you are a time-bound creature, seek to meet me in timelessness. As you focus on my presence, the demands of time and tasks will diminish. I will bless you and keep you, making my face shine upon you graciously, giving you peace. From Micah 7:7, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Revelations 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. There is a time for everything and a season for everything, activity under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:1. And the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Numbers 6:24-26. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. Praise God, praise God. We say, be patient. Wait on me. Be patient. How many know how to just wait on God?
Your presence is overwhelming. There's nothing like your presence.
Say that again. I have been touched. Put your hand on your neighbor. Say, you have been touched. Put your hand on them. Say, you have been touched. Changed. Healed. Say this, totally free from sin. Say that again, totally free from. I have been touched, changed, healed, totally free from sin. Every shackle broke, now I can live again. Y'all say it.
Yeah.
tonight. Listen.
In your love, there is freedom.
Let's raise this all over the house. Say, and no more.
And no more.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. I've been restored, I've been renewed, and I can truly say I come alive tonight, God, because of you. All this day I've been made alive, and it's for this word that you have been put in my spirit, and you birthed in me for tonight. And I don't think it's just for tonight, but it's for this season and for eternity, because what you got me is, oh, Heavenly Father, I begin to thank you, God. I praise you and I worship you, God. I magnify your name, God. I've been restored. I've been renewed, God. And I come alive, God. Can you just say, I come alive, Lord, because of you, God. I come alive. Just imagine that you move and you live and you have your being because of him. God, we come alive, God. We come alive because of you, God. See, we always say, I'm blessed to be in the land of the living. But how many of you know that unless you're in God, you're not living, you're only existing. So, God, now that I'm in you, God, and you're in me, God, I come alive because of you, God. I can truly say I'm alive, and I'm amongst the land of the living. But there's been times when I was breathing, and I was amongst the land of the existing. But I come alive because of you, God. I've been restored, and I've been renewed, God. I've been refreshed. I've been revitalized, God, revamped. God, and it's all because of you, God. Oh, Father, as we decrease tonight and you increase, Father, let your Holy Spirit have its way, God. Let your Holy Spirit operate the way you'd have it operate, God, and move the way you have it to move, Father, in me and through me, God, and through your people, God, from my mouth to their ears, God, and from your voice to my ears, to my heart, God, as we deliver this message, Father, we begin to praise you and worship you, God, for making us alive, God, tonight, God. And we begin to thank you for it right now. We praise you for it, and we worship you, and we magnify your name. I hope those that are able to take notes and got your pen and paper, you'll be able to do it, because this is a note-taking type situation tonight. To live by, to be governed by. The message that God gave me, and it put in my heart earlier this week, I think it was Monday, he said, the way up is down. He said, the way up is down. We always thought the way up is to get up, you know, and we were taught that way, and we were bred that way, even as a child. I remember just, we were so selfish and taught, even in school. The schools are teaching us how to be selfish, not selfless, but selfish. And that's been the thing that we've been into. That's been our whole existence for a while, is that we've been selfish. We've been self-righteous. We've been self-preserved. We've been all these things that put us in a place where we're not concerned about the others, but we are put ourselves first. But Christ said something totally different. Not only did he say something totally different, he did something totally different. See, I look at certain things and about being selfish and being selfless. Selfless means I'm willing to serve. How many know that God called you to serve tonight? He called you to be a servant. That's what we're talking about now. The power of a servant is what God is talking about tonight. He said the way up is down, but to go down, to come up, doesn't make common sense to us. But he said Christ did. He descended before he ascended. Y'all missed that, right? He descended before he ascended. Matter of fact, he had to come down. He came down as a son. He was, you know, he got God the Father, God the Son, God all those. But he came down as God the Son, and he called himself instead of the Son of God. Most of the time, you can look in the Gospels over 40 times. He called himself the Son of Man because he made himself. Because I was here for man, I'm here for humanity, I'm here for the human. So I'm Son of Man first. Hey, and then I go take my seat. And the Son of God, I sit on the right-hand side of the God. Well, David said, the Lord said to my Lord. But right now, I'm Son of Man. I'm the carpenter's son. Come on, man. We got to get this. God got me on this tonight, you know, because so many of us have so much. We got pride. We got arrogance. And he gave me a word, humility. And you look at humility, right? That word, humility. And then you look at the other things about it is you got humble. You got humble. But I can be humble, or I can let that word be flipped with humility, and I can be humiliated. So you look at how that word flipped. Either I'm going to be humble, or I'm going to be humiliated. I always tell the kids that when we, in AAU, when the college coaches come out and say I'm doing what they call the live period, I said, flip that coin. You can get exposure, or you can be exposed. So you got to look at those things. So now I can be humble, or I can be humiliated. But I can prepare myself to move in humility. And I'm saying, God, humble me. David said, I humble myself. You know, we got to understand how to come to a place of humility. And because we look at and say haughtiness, because you can be haughty and arrogance and pride, but that comes before the fall. So the way it goes, you got to go down just to get back up. You got to figure it out. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. When God lifted him, first he was down from the very beginning. Small little bitty country, didn't know how he was going to be able to defeat Jerusalem. And then God told him, you're going to take Jerusalem. And he was like, well, how? That's a fortified city. He said, the only reason it's fortified because I'm there, but I'm going to step back and let you be my invader. I'm going to let you invade it. See, sometimes, look here, my God, sometimes we have to be invaded and to go down for us to look up and say, oh, God, I need you. You know, sometimes you have to have the invasions in your body just for you to get on your knees and say, God, I need you. Lord, I need you. God, and they look up. But you know, he let Nebuchadnezzar invade Jerusalem at the time and do that. And he took them captives in Babylon. And he made them strong. He made Babylon a powerful, powerful kingdom. And Nebuchadnezzar got so proud in himself and got so puffed up in himself. And he did a statue and everything else. And then God began to talk to him and say, man, let you humble yourself. I'm going to humble you. So you can allow humility to come in now, or you can allow me to humiliate you. Nonetheless, we know how the story goes. He was humiliated. He was, you know, he lost his mind and had talons and had a look like an eagle and all that type of stuff. But then after that, once he looked up and he came to himself, he was elevated again because he realized that God is God. Now watch this. Now we're talking about to be in a lowly state, and we're talking about serving. And I got to utilize sport. I got to go to my son. I understand some things now about even the way his playing style. And it may be overlooked because you know why? Because serving is not popular. Serving is not the thing that gets you being a servant. So one thing about it is he's a point guard, and he liked to pass first, right? So he liked to serve. Everybody else want to eat. Nobody want to serve. Everybody want to eat. But see, because that's the society, not society puts you in the mindset that everybody got to eat. But if you got a servant's heart, you're going to serve regardless. And see, that's the thing like God showed me a long time ago about a vision of a restaurant. And people went in and ordered. And it was up for hours and hours, and nobody got their food out. And we're like, man, what's going on? So they got up and walked towards the back where the chef is, and you see all these plates stacked up high to the ceiling. Why? Because everybody want to eat, but nobody want to serve. And that's what we deal with. But let's look at the example that God has given you. He gave you God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And guess what? God the Son served God the Father, right? God the Holy Spirit served God the Son and God the Father. And so what makes you think that we won't serve? And here's the thing, man, we want to serve for eternity. We want to serve, man, and be right now, because God is divine. And we want to serve God for eternity. If that's your thing right now, that God, I want to serve you for eternity, then I'll repeat that and say, Lord, I want to be your servant, Lord, from here on out, from now to eternity. Now watch this. Isaiah 61. This is Isaiah 61, right? And we're only going to look at the first three verses. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim release from confinement and condemnation to the physical and spiritual captives, and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance and retribution of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion the following, to give them a turban instead of dust on their heads, a sign of mourning, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. What is that garment? He said the garment expressive of praise. What is that garment? You know what I mean? So, and then we look at praising of a disheartened spirit. Or why your heart so heavy? And see, we look at selfishness, right? And self-righteousness. And a person that's so selfish is a person that is a dissatisfied person. You wonder why people are depressed? Because they're selfish. You know why people go through so much? Because of their selfishness. You know, they said, I'm going to come back to it. They said, go find the happiest man in the world. And I want his shirt. That's the kingdom. The king, he was depressed. He said, I want you to go find the happiest man in the world. Go search the whole world, find the happiest man, and bring me his shirt. So they searched over the whole world, man, and they found the guy who was the happiest man. But guess what happened? They came into the king and said, we found the man. And so we got a shirt at? He said, he don't even have a shirt. You see what I'm saying, man? I'm selfless. You got to be at that point, man, where they express a praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called the trees of righteousness. God said, I want you to be called the trees of righteousness, strong and magnificent. Distinguished for integrity, justice, and right standing with God, the plan of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That's God's servant. He said, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to serve. And that's the greatest of all. That's Christ. Let me show you how to go down and to come up. Let's go to Matthew, the third chapter. Watch this. Matthew, the third chapter. I'm just going to go. Then those days, John the Baptist appeared preaching in the wilderness of Judea along the western side of the Dead Sea, and saying, repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret past sins. Live your life in a way that proves repentance. Seek God's purpose for your life, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the one who was mentioned by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the road for the Lord, make his highway straight, level, direct. Now we look at John. We know John was the lowliest, and Christ said it, but he spoke, he said, even those, you know, he was lowliest, but he said, man, John was the best out of any. So he said, now this same John had clothing. Look what he had on. Made of camel's hair and a wide leather band around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. They were baptized in him by water. But you got one greater than that coming back that's baptized you with fire and the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. But he said, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the divine wrath and judgment to come? I told you, man, this servitude is divine. But we got so many people that don't want to be listening, don't want to let people know that, hey, I can serve you. Even though you may be less than me in society, even though you may be less than me as our eyes see, I can still serve you. I can still put a plate before you. I can still take your trash out. I can still sweep your floor. I can serve you. I can be a servant to you because this is what God has required me to do. I can take my one talent and I can invest my talent into you. See, remember the man with the talents. One had five, one had two, and one had one. But the one with five, he invested the talents and got five more. The one with two invested the talents got two more. So he had four. But the one with one, he buried the talent. And there's so many of us as born-again believers that are burying our talents. Why? Because we don't want to serve. We don't even want to invest that one talent into a ministry that got 10 talents to make it grow, to make it multiply, to make it serve and do what the king said for the kingdom. That's why the kingdom is suffering right now. So much selfishness. And look, we move forward. I'm going to drop down to verse 11. It says, for me, I baptize you with water because of your repentance. That is because you are willing to change your inner self, your own way of thinking, regret your sin, and live a changed life. But he, the Messiah who is coming after me, is mightier, more powerful, more noble than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to remove, even as his slave. Think of that. He said, I can't even remove him, even though I'm his slave. I'm a servant to him. And I can't even remove his sandal as his slave. But he said, he will baptize you who truly repent with the Holy Spirit and who remain unrepentant with fire, judgment. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear out his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat, which are his believers, into his kingdom. But he will burn up the chaff, which is the unrepentant, with unquenchable fire. And right now, God is saying, man, even now, he's saying, man, my heart is sorrowful because I got so many that don't want to repent. I got so many that won't return to me, that won't forgive themselves, won't ask for forgiveness, and won't even forgive. I said, you know what's going on with God? She said, man, we got so many people that's not delivered and won't receive deliverance because of lack of love, a lack of compassion, a lack of repentance. They won't repent. They won't confess. He said, first of all, they don't want to come to a place of repentance. There's a lack of repentance that's going on, so that's why there's no deliverance. There's a lack of confession of your sins, so that's why there's no deliverance. There's a lack of forgiveness, so that's why there's no deliverance. He said, no, there's a lack of breaking away or moving away from occult, from the occultic nature and the world. You don't want to leave the world. So that's why they won't repent. That's why they're not delivered. So they won't. They won't. They won't walk away from the world. They won't walk away from the occult behaviors. 13 verse said, then Jesus from Galilee came to John at the Jordan River to be baptized by him. Look at that. He had to come down to be baptized, to go back up. But John tried to prevent him vigorously, protesting, saying, it is I who need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? See, he recognized who he is, and he recognized who Christ is, and he recognized the role that they both play. But watch what Christ said. But Jesus replied to him, permit it just now, for this is the fitting way for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John permitted it and baptized him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up immediately out of the water, and behold, the heavens were open. And John saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased and delighted. So he had to go down. He had to go down that low for John to baptize him, for him to come up. So you got to go down to come up. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes going down is hard. Going down on your knees sometimes is hard. It's very difficult. But when you look at the prophets of old, I study the prophets of old all the time. When you study them, and they always say that I lay broken or prostrate. The word prostrate, P-R-O-S-T-R-A-T-E, prostrate means to be broken. I lay broken before the Lord. They say, I lay broken in it. And most of the time, they're in a position where they're face down. Not only are they down, but they're face down. And they're broken before God. in prayer and in worship. In Isaiah, they talk about the seraphim. I want to say it's the sixth chapter of Isaiah, and he talk about the vision with the seraphims. And he said the seraphims had six wings. Two was over the eyes, two was over the feet, and the other two to fly away. But the two over the eyes represent the praise. Worship represent the worship. You know, it represents the worship. So two wings over the eyes covering up the feet and the face, and two wings covering over the feet. And they worship him, man. How many times do you worship? Because, you know, worship leads to service. Your worship to God and your obedience leads to your servitude for God. You know, I say, you say you're above me, so why don't you worship me? Why don't you serve me? Why don't you obey me? See, when I obey God, I begin to worship God. And when I worship God, I begin to serve God. I called you to serve. I called you to serve. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few, because I called you to serve. But nobody wants to serve, but everybody wants to come sit at the table and eat. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased and delighted. Now watch this. We're talking about coming down. I mean, you gotta be down to come up. Let's look at Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and set him before them and said, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless you repent, that is, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, live changed lives, and become like children, trusting, humble, and forgiving, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now look what he just said. Now, I'm a grown man. You say, I got to become a child. I mean, I got to go now to be a child just so I can come up. He said, I assure you, and most solemnly said to you, unless you repent, that is, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, live changed lives, and become like children, little children, trusting, humble, and forgiving, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives and welcomes one child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble in sin by leading them away from my teaching, it will be better for you to have a heavy millstone as large as one turned by a donkey hung around your neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Look at this, man. He says, see that you do not despise a thing less than one of these little ones. For I say to you that angels in heaven, see, the angels even serve. See, the angels in heaven are in the presence of and continue to look upon the face of my Father who is in heaven, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. He telling you, now listen, I got angels serving. Everybody's serving. So why don't you serve? Why are we not duplicating what's in heaven? I told him in ministry, I said, man, in heaven, that's all you're going to be doing is serving him. If you don't believe me, look at Revelation 22 and 3. Get Revelation 22. We got to get a hold of this thing. Many things blew my mind this week when God had been dealing with me with this. I'm telling you, I'm on another page now. I'm your servant. I'm here to serve you. I'm your brother, but I'm your servant. Everyone on the sound of my voice, I want you to know I'm here to serve you. And he said, and there shall be no more curse, but in the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And his servants shall serve him. Where are they going to serve him at? That's in eternity. You're going to serve him in eternity. Well, let's hope I get there, because guess what it said? In Revelation, he said, there are two names going to be written on somebody's forehead. That name of that beast going to be on his forehead, or the name of Christ. He said, in the fourth verse, that they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. That's the ones that become righteous. That's the ones that become obedient. That's the ones who worship him in right standing. He said, that name shall be on their foreheads. His name. They shall see his face and his name. And see, but in Revelation, we know that if you don't get to that place, if you're not in that right place with him, then that other name will be on your forehead, which is 666, or the mark of the beast. We understand how that goes. But see, we have to understand that if that's what we're going to be doing for eternity, why not practice for eternity? Why wait till you get it, man? You got to get an attitude of gratitude, an attitude to serve, to know what you're here for. I'm here to serve the Lord. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to lift his name. I come to praise his name. I come to worship him. I come to serve him. And I come to, by serving him, I got to serve you. So I come to serve you in serving him. He said, anytime you did anything for the least of these, you've done it unto me. And that's our mindset right now. We got to see how that, I got to do this for the least of them. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:5 right quick. Watch this, man. God has really been blessing, man. Really been blessing. 1 Peter 5:5. I'm going to bounce around a little bit, but guys. So this is a note taken right here. He said, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble means to go down. So he said that he may exalt you. Exalt you means coming up. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cause casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. But let's go back to this first verse. It said, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. That's good. We know that. We talk about submission, wives submit to your husbands, children submit to your parents, we submit to Christ, love your wife as you love. But he said submit. Then he said, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. That means each and every one of us in the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, got to submit to one another. He said, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. So that means, I'm telling you, I'm here to serve you. We all got to be submit to each other. We all. Yes, all of you, not some of you, not one of you, not a few of you, but all have to submit to one another. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Hey, I'm telling this though, if you get it, it works. If you get it, it works. If you get it, it works. Now watch this, I'm going to tell you something else, man, that is going to really blow your mind that who you here to serve. Now you ask, who am I here to serve? Am I here to serve the nobles? Am I here to serve those that are high and mighty? Who am I here to serve? God. But God said, man, you're here to serve. Watch this. One second. Wow, man. Wow. And it really got me from judging and everything else tonight, man. And this day, God, like, man, you ain't got no place to judge nobody no more. You know, I don't care if they have purple. I don't care if they look like they got Skittles in their head. It don't matter if they got this. Man, we sent a young girl about 2 weeks ago. Had all kind of tattoos with chains and piercings tied and going through them and all that stuff there, man, from the face all down her body. And I got some of even my nephew's relatives got the same type of stuff. And you look at it, you're like, man, why do they make themselves look like monsters? But God said, man, you know, and what motive is that? You know, what's the motivation of that to do something in the life? But that's what we're here for. I still got to serve them. Even if I turn my face up. Yeah, I told you we're servants. He said, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, he gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel that the essence of the power may be of God and not of us. When we begin to release ourselves into him, man, we begin to understand who we are. And what this gospel really means. You know, and why this gospel has been blinded to so many people? Because they haven't received the whole thing of God. He said, listen, let's go to the first verse. He said, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. How many of you are ministers? You're a minister of servitude. You're a minister of salvation. You're a minister of reconciliation. You're a minister of love, of mercy. That's what we're here for. He said, now that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. And let's look at who Paul was. Paul was a Pharisee, one of the teachers of Pharisees. And they call it, he was an Orthodox Jew. And when the Orthodox Jews are different, they're very particular, they're very puffed up, they're very arrogant, they're very, very self-righteous. You know, I had a cousin told me they got two prayers that they pray every faithfully. One is that I'm glad I'm a Jew and not a Gentile. The other one is I'm glad I'm a man and not a woman. These are their prayers. constantly. That's what the prayers they pray. So now with that being said, and then you see in Paul saying, I'm your servant. This is what he's telling to the Corinthians. And Corinthians, you're a Gentile. I'm a Jew. And I've been praying that I'm glad I'm a Jew and not a Gentile. I'm glad I'm a man and not a woman. But now listen to what he's saying. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Well, we know that the Corinthians were Gentiles. We know they were some people. Let's talk about who they are. If you go to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, I can tell you a little bit more about the Corinthians and why this makes sense to hear Paul say, I'm your servant. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. It says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So he's telling me, such of you were fornicators, you were idolaters, you were adulterers, you were homosexuals, you were sodomites, you were thieves, you were covetous and drunkards and revelers, extortionists. But I am here to serve you. I'm serving you. You was a homosexual, I'm serving you. You were an adulterer, I'm serving you. This is what God sent me for. He sent me here to serve you. Though in my flesh, you have been beneath me. We don't get it, man. We don't get it. And I understand now why my wife and myself constantly always open up our doors. People are like, man, Hotel Flint. Anybody and everybody, man, we done had Serbians, we done had Africans, we done had Europeans, we done had couples, man. You know, we done had a lot of stuff in and out these doors. We'd be like, man, this is a house of refuge or whatever it is. But I understand because that's what we're here for. I'm here to serve. My home is here to serve. My car. Just this morning, I did a favor for somebody this morning. I had to go out of state to help them out. But I'm here to serve. That's what we're here for. My God, I praise you, God. I praise you. We got to set ourselves aside, man. We got to count it all down. Everything that Paul counted all down, he counted all but loss to be considered a servant of God. And that's what we got to be. We got to be, God, I count it all done this morning, not this night. Every time you wake up, God, God, give me somebody to serve, God. Give me somebody to love. Let me love the unlovable. Let me teach the unteachable, God. Let me, the ones that don't want to be taught. Let me reach the ones that don't want to be reached, God. Give me a heart for them, God. Let it not be about me. So if I set it aside and lift you up, you said if I lift you up, you'll draw all men unto you. So let me lift you up, Jesus, so you can do some drawing as I step aside. As I step aside and let you do what you do best. I told you, man, listen, man, we got to get back to praying and fasting. I told you in Psalm 35:11, David said, I humble myself with fasting. We are here to serve, not to be served. We got to realize that I'm your servant. I'm here to serve. I'm not here to be served. I'm your servant. And I do it in fasting and praying. I push my plate back for you. I push my plate back for this nation. I push my plate back for these souls to be won. Because Christ, he's hurting because there's so many of us unrepentant, so many of us with unforgiveness, so many of us with hatred and rage and indifference. Without love, we're missing love. We're missing compassion. We're missing forgiveness. Some of us that don't want to confess our sins. Some of us that don't want to forgive or walk away from the world and the things of this world. That has ensnared us so. So I'm fasting and I'm praying, myself included. We're here to serve. We're here to serve. We're here to serve. So again, I go back to my child, man, and as a pass first guard, he's serving. He's serving a dish. I don't care if we get 20 assists a game and 2 points. He's serving. Because guess what? Someone got to serve. And then again, some people have to eat. And someone will serve and eat. But if we don't serve, ain't nobody going to eat. A few more scriptures for us right here, and I'll be done. Matthew 12:18. I'm going to Matthew 4 seconds if that will. It is Matthew 12:18, right? Watch this. I'm starting at 14, but he said, then the Pharisees went out and took counsel against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. So he healed them all, so what did he do? He still was serving. And he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant. They said his name, behold, my servant. This is how God addressed him. Whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. And the 20th verse, he said, a bruised reed. I said, what's a reed? And a reed is like a branch, and that is strong, that stays up. But a bruised one, you know what I mean? When a bruised one is broken, he said, a bruised reed, he will not crush, he will not break. And so you look at it, some of us are bruised reeds. But he said, I'm not here to break you, I'm here to heal you. See, some of us are bruised reeds tonight. And we got some things that's going on in our lives, and that is tormenting. We got things that are going on in our lives that bring forth oppression and suppression and depression. We got some things that bring on our lives and say, nobody can help me. Nobody can deal with this thing. But he said, a bruised reed, he will not break, but he will mend. Hallelujah. He said, I came as a minister of reconciliation. I came to put things together. He said that, and a smoking flax he will not quench. And that flax is like that. It's like the wick and the light. And they say when the flax starts smoking, because that wick has went out. But he said even that wick or even that candle, he said that when that candle gets to the end and it just starts smoking, he said I would not quench it, but I will refire. See, some of us are ready to retire when God said I'm here to refire. I'm ready to reignite that fire in you. He said, I won't quench it, nor will I break it, nor will I crush it. But I'm going to heal it, I'm going to mend it, I'm going to reignite it, and I'm going to refire it. So he says, war of justice and victory, and in his name, Gentiles will trust. I'm telling you, man, this thing is real. This is real. All right, last two, Matthew 20:28. He said, surely I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall we receive 100-fold and inherit everlasting life. That's what we're talking about, man. Hey, I'm serving for eternity. I want my reward. I don't want to get and well done, my good and faithful servant, is not the words that's been uttered to me. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into his rest. I want to hear that. I want to hear enter into his rest. I want to serve you now and for eternity, Lord. I want to serve you now and for eternity. Matthew 25:20. If you got your pen and paper, take these notes. Look what he's saying. Now, when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. And now, as they were eating, he said, as surely I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were seeing this off. Each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? And he answered, he who dipped his hand in this with me in the dish will betray me. See, you know what? all y'all want with me, and everybody ain't even for me. Sometimes you're going to deal with people that's going to be around you that's not for you. You're going to deal with people around you that's been devils. But it's okay. And he still served them. I still served you this. And matter of fact, I served you this to do what you do. And sometimes you have to give them people that sword so they can stick you with it, so God can allow what he wants to happen to manifest itself. I gave you this sword. I gave you this dish. Now go do what you do. That what you do, do quickly. That's what the way out of here. Listen. When Jesus has spoken these things, he raised his eyes to heaven and frowned and said, Father, the hour has come. I'm in John 17, and this is it. Glorify your son so that your son may glorify you. Just as you have given him power and authority over all mankind, now glorify him, so that he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him to be his permanently and forever. Now this is eternal life. I told you we're talking about eternity. That they may know you, the only true supreme and sovereign God, and in the same manner know Jesus as the Christ whom you have sent. See, I had to come down. Who you have sent down, now it's time for me to come back up. Have glorified you down here on the earth. Look at that. Hey, man, this thing is so real. He said, I have glorified you down here on the earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory and majesty that I had with you before the world existed. So he had to come down here and, you know, listen. Look at the last verse, fifth verse. He said, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory and majesty that I had with you before the world existed. See, I had this already. But I took it off. I became selfish to come down for your people that you have given me. And you said, God, these are mine, permanently and forever. So I came down just for that. See, we got to come down to bring people up. We got to come down to bring our loved ones up. We got unsaved loved ones. We got peers that's close to us. We got friends and family that's close to us that don't know the Lord as their Lord and personal Savior and not trying to get there. But guess what? But we so high and mighty because we got it. I'm saved, I'm saved, so I don't feel the Holy Ghost. I'm good. I got my road to heaven. But what about those that are left behind or will be left behind because you're not willing to serve? He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We got to make up our mind that, Lord, we're going to serve God. And we understand the power of the servant. He said, I have manifested your name and revealed your very self, your real self, to the people whom you have given me out of the world. We are ministers of reconciliation. We are ministers that carry this gospel. We got the truth. We got the way, the truth, and the life, and we sit on it. And we got people that don't have the truth are working feverishly, spreading their lies and spreading their poison. That Satan's weapon is poison, and into your mind, into your heart, and then it leads you into a place where you can't even get to Christ. So there's nothing on your door. Every day they feverishly knock on the door, and they'll tell you some stuff. And it'll be part truth, but it's not the whole truth, but you got the truth. You got the way and the truth and the life. You got it, and we won't give it. The Mormons, and we know their occult behavior. They'll come. And there's so many more that'll come, man, the Buddhas and everything else, man. We got it, and we won't give it. And that's a problem. I have manifested your name and revealed your very self, your real self, to the people whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept and obeyed your word. Now at last they know with confident assurance that all you have given me is from you. How many have given the word of God that he has given you to somebody else? And not even in word, but indeed, living it. Living it before them, saying, hey, this is something God that gave me, I'm giving it to you. It is really and truly yours, for the words which you gave me, I have given them. And they received and accepted them and truly understood with confident assurance that I came from you from your presence, and they believed without any doubt that you sent me. I was saying, brother, I say, people talking about encounters with angels and all that stuff there. And I look at the prophets, when they encountered, he said, he gave three quotes. He said, did you pass out? Did fear overtake you? Did you fall down? And the answer was no. They said, well, then you just had an encounter. You didn't encounter an angel. Because when you look at when the prophets encountered an angel, you got to look at that. The fear came over them. They were laid down. The angels didn't tell them, man, get up. I'm a man. They're like, I'm the man. I'm a servant just like you're a servant. I'm not the one for you to serve. And they had to get up. But we got to understand that. We got to get into a place, man, where we know that when I have that encounter, then that's a change that's going to take place. That's a transaction that's going to take place. Even when Jacob was fighting the angel and arresting the angel, and the angel hit him, he said, hey, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. But his name came from Jacob to Israel. That was a transformation that took place. God is saying, I'm transforming you from selfishness to selflessness tonight. And you're going to go from being served to being a servant. And serve all. You are submissive to all of you are submissive one to another. And that's who we are tonight. That's who we are, and that's who we are, and that's what God has called us to be. He said, glorify me, God. And that's the verse said, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory and majesty that I had with you before the world existed. Father, we thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. We thank you for this word on tonight, God. We thank you, God, that we are decreased, Father, that you will increase, God. And, God, give us the heart of a servant, God, that we'll serve you, God. We say it so much with lip service. I serve you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I magnify your name, God. But do we really do it? Do we really move in love? Do we really move in mercy and grace and forgiveness? Do we really out to serve someone and do it ungrudgingly? Because are we really able to do it? Sometimes I do things and sometimes I'm like, I complain and I'm in the midst of doing it. And God says, well, why are you doing it? If you don't complain about it, don't do it. And then I have to repent. I say, okay, God, not my will, but your will be done. Let's serve the Lord with all heart. Let's serve the Lord with everything that's inside of us. And let's be obedient. And if you choose to serve God tonight under the sound of my voice, if you say, hey, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make up your mind and say, God, I want to be a servant of yours from now to eternity. Because Revelation 22 and 3 tells you it's going to be done in eternity. He said they will serve him. And they'll know his name and see his face. His name will be written on their foreheads. So, God, I choose to serve you now and until eternity. My life belongs to you. And if that's something that you choose to do, I give you something now to say it and repeat after me. Lord, I choose to serve you. Now and for eternity. And it's a tough word to say. You got to remember what you just said now has been recorded in heaven by the angels in heaven. The words you just said now has been recorded in heaven by the angels in heaven. And one of them has any comments to make. 3762, your mic is open. The last 4 digits of the number is 3762. Your mic is open.
Praise God. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I have so thoroughly enjoyed this message, every bit of it. I went to Philippians, the second chapter, and God is, from what you're telling us, God wants us to be humbled and in order to work for him, with him, to be a part of him for eternity, we've got to be humbled. And second Philippians, the fifth verse says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And Jesus humbled himself so to the point of giving his life that we might live, that we might be able to inherit eternal life with him, along with being healed and delivered. But that was the lowest form of humbleness that I can even think of. But I think about the church, and we kind of upside down. You know, you mentioned about going down before you come up, but we're kind of upside down. Instead of the ministries wanting to be a servant to the people, they want to be served. And God wants us to seek him, to humble ourselves before him and say, Lord, how can I serve your people? Show me how to serve them, Lord, and not just want them to serve me, to exalt myself because I'm the apostle, I'm the pastor, I'm the prophet, I'm the this, I'm the that. those titles are given by God through the Holy Spirit, but only to signify the type of work that we're going to be doing for the Lord. But we must be humble and meek so God can use us. And I just thank God for you tonight. I thank God for that message. I think we should all do a little inventory of ourselves and see, are we seeking to be served? Are we seeking to be looked up to because of the gifts that we have, or because of the work that God is doing in our lives, or because of how we can speak forth the word of God? Are we to be lifted up on a pinnacle? Are we to be exalted? Hallelujah. Or are we to be humbled down? Are we really humbling ourselves? Are we really saying, Lord, use me the way you want to use me? God, he says to delight ourselves in him, and he would give us the desires of our heart. But I found out a long time ago that the way we delight ourselves in him is that we seek to be what he wants us to be. And when we seek to be what he wants us to be and delight ourselves in that, then he can give us the desires of our heart, because our hearts will be like desiring his heart, desiring his pleasure with us. Oh, God, you just have stirred me up tonight, and I just thank God for you. I appreciate you, and I just ask God to bless all of us, and please do some inventory of your own self. No matter how good you can preach, how you can teach, how you can break up that word, make sure it's God's word that you're breaking up and God's word that you're speaking. If you speak his word, then you will be humble. Glory to God. God bless you. I love you. Hallelujah.
God bless you. I love you. That's powerful. We humble ourselves before Almighty God, the mighty hands of God, and we thank God for that. We thank God for the illustration and the illumination of the word from our own Apostle Rosa Arnold. God had me on 35:11-14, and if these witnesses rise up and they ask me, do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my soul was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I pitched about as though that he were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. They got to ask you, God, give us a heart of a servant tonight, Father. That's my prayer. God, give us a heart of a servant, God. That the pains that my brothers and my sisters are going through, the pain, God, and the torment they're going through, God, that I can feel that pain, and God, we'll be willing to be intercessors and stand in the gap for them, God, and serve, God. They're hungry, God. We give them food, God. They're homeless. We'll provide shelter, God. They need a ride. We'll provide a ride, God. Even I tell the brother on the prayer line, one of the brothers had to get to the hospital to the doctor for a surgery, and one of the brothers on the prayer line volunteered. And that's the love of God. That's, hey, I'm serving. And these guys operate in that ministry. So I praise you for them, Father. You have it's a beautiful band of men, God, that love you, God, and have a heart of a servant, God. But continue to give us a heart of a servant to God, that each one will teach one, that it'll be contagious, God, infectious, God. Automatic communicable, and not a disease, but a communicable situation, God, where it will catch fire. The power of serving, the power of praying and fasting. If you want your nation and your neighbor to change, start praying, start fasting. David said, I humbled myself with fasting. I'm telling you, it works. Your last number, 1436. Your mic is open.
Good afternoon, Pastor George. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. How about yourself?
I'm okay, praise God. I was listening to your message and about serving, and that's what I want to be, a servant of God, to do his will and not mine. But sometimes it gets hard when you're trying to do right by a person and you find yourself getting trapped in the midst of confusions and all kind of crap like that. So my question is, when you're trying to do your best for someone, and, you know, it's kind of hard to explain, but when you're trying to do your best for someone and you help them, and you see that they just really just holding you like a crutch, but you still keep on trying, but during that time you're trying, you're kind of bringing yourself down, your self-esteem down. So how would you continue to help a person when they too much, act like they don't really want your help, but you know they need help? So how would you deal with something like that?
Well, it's two ways of that. First of all, you got to have godly wisdom in there. You know, you got to ask God to give you discernment and give you the wisdom on how do I help them, you know. And then other times, you know, when you're serving, you serve as unto the Lord and not unto man, so not in yourself. So you're not serving in yourself because you have humbled and you move to a place of selflessness. And so now it's not in you, but it's Christ that is serving through you. So you serve them as if you're serving unto Christ. But then after that, God may give you, like he told in Jeremiah, don't pray for them anymore. Don't move. So you got to move, make sure you hear from God on if he's telling you to serve them. And because sometimes he may have them going through something to get through something, and then you may be in the way. So you got to make sure that you're not in the way and make sure you're in the will of God. And if you're in the will of God, then you serve them as you're serving unto God. I hope that helps.
Oh, yes, it helps a lot. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Anybody else? I think it was the benediction. But I've been truly blessed tonight. If you've been blessed tonight, just begin, you know, just tell the Lord thank you and ask God to give you the heart of a servant. But I'm truly blessed. The next one should be none other than my son, Anthony Rice, giving us the benediction. I love you all tonight, and I thank you for being here, sharing with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, O God, first off, for the beautiful word brought all home from all no other than our pastor, O God. And I just want to thank you for continuing to let him grow and continue to guide him to lead us in our fortunes of life, O God. And as we're closing, I want to thank you for life of the strength. Thank you for giving us this day. Thank you for waking us up this morning, keeping us in the right minds. I want to thank you, O God, for giving us all the servant spirit, O God, and every aspect of our lives, O God, and every walk of our day, every opportunity that we have to serve another, Lord God, I just ask you to allow us to do so. Allow us to do it from the heart and not with the intentions of something coming behind it or a blessing coming behind it, but just from the sincerity of our hearts, Lord God, and walking in the right way with you, Lord God. I ask that everyone have a safe night tonight, Lord God, and keep this word on your minds. And I want to thank you, Lord God, for everyone's family, Lord God, keeping everyone safe, keeping everybody under the sound of your voice, Lord God, everyone's communities and our homes, Lord God. I just want to thank you for just continuing to bless us, Lord God, and bless our walk with you. Ask for forgiveness for anything that we've said, done the thought that was against the will of the way, that misplease your spirit. And I want to thank you for every sound or every voice and everyone that's on this blog talk, Lord God. Just continue to keep us consistent with it and guide us and help us grow in it, Lord God, and reach more people, Lord God, and more voices. I want to thank you for everything else and every prayer. So it is. Everyone have a great night, and we love you all.